come as we are, but he's so good that he never lets us leave the same. Just by the power of his love, by the power of his goodness, by the power of his presence, he causes just a natural, a supernatural change to come out of us, doesn't he? Yeah. Okay. Turn to the person next to you and say, are you all right? I think you're all right. That's good. Okay, so it's my privilege really just to open up today with a really short word, really short, just a short message. It comes straight from the Father for you, and so I hope I speak true. And this really, it says, is a message to set us up for the day. We're already there. We're positioning ourselves in worship and in his presence. And this message just comes to you from God just to start the day off, to start it all off. And so before we go any further, we're going to watch a clip, please. This may be familiar. And don't worry, I do get to tie it in. I don't even know what his character name is in there. He'll always be Mr. Darcy. It is Darcy, isn't it, in there as well? Amazing, clever. So I love this film. Well, the bits that you can watch as a Christian. You have to skip through some of it, don't you? But I love the sentiment of this film, and especially just those last couple of minutes, Mr. Darcy coming down the stairs. And you can just imagine, I think, I've been there, we've all been there maybe, having a bit of a Bridget moment when we are all over the place, everything's hanging out, we've said too much, we've not said enough, we've danced wrong, whatever, and anything. We've made ourselves feel silly, look silly, uncomfortable, and we just want to go home and hide. And then someone comes along, like Mr. Darcy, and says, no, no, I like you. I like you just the way you are, even with all of those things. And so let's take that. Let's take Mr. Darcy and let's turn him around a lot, change him a lot, and read the Father God into this. Because this is what I feel God is saying to us this morning, is that I love you. I am all into you. Anne-Marie, Father God is all into you. Claire, he is all into you. Kathy, he is all into you. It doesn't matter what your flaws are, how bad you think you are, the mistakes you've made. He's all into you. It's unconditional. It's complete. And that's where we need to start today. We need to start right here. Because at the end of today, I'm hoping we're going to be at that place where we feel, as women, as people, that we have taken another step to going all in for God, all out there for him in every area of our life. But unless we know where we're starting from, we're not going to get there. And so the starting point is, he is all into you. He loves you completely. And this is a real battle. I've kind of written here, the battle. For us, especially as women, men, you guys get off, okay. No, you don't really. This applies to you too. But there's been a battle since the dawn of creation for women's heart. From women's heart. It begins right back in the beginning. God has a special plan for his girls, and right from the start, the enemy has come in and tried to thwart it in every way he can. God may have created us second. We may have been born second, but we are not second best. We are not an afterthought. He doesn't love us any less. He loves us because he loves us because he loves us. But it can, I think, for women, be a struggle to accept that. To accept that God loves me just because of who I am. Not because of what I do, not because of how I serve in church, not because of my admin skills, my prayer time, my singing, the way I raise my children. None of that. That's all good. But that's not why God loves me. God loves me because he loves me. So I said, it started right back with Eve. And we know this, don't we? You can read this in Genesis. When Eve was in the garden, the serpent, the snake, the enemy came to her and he gave her a question. And that question wasn't just a harmless question. It was actually a weapon. It was a weapon that he used to plant a seed of doubt in the heart of women that has run on and on and on through history. And what did he say to her? He said, did God really say? quite a simple question when you think about it. Did God really say that? But what he did was plant that seed of doubt in her. Who recognizes that question? Because it's a question that the enemy will use over and over again at you. Have you ever heard that? Did God really say that about you? Are you sure? Why would God use someone like you? Why would God speak to you? Why would God love you? Have you ever heard that? I think we have. But you know, we are already, because of Jesus, amen, we are already better positioned than Eve. You see, thing with Eve was that she had no direct revelation from God. If you read it in Genesis 2, she actually was living according to what Adam had told her. God told Adam, go into all the earth, multiply, do all the business, but do not eat off that tree. Don't go near that tree. He said that to Adam. Eve wasn't there yet. And so we can assume that Adam had told Eve, but it wasn't a direct revelation. Ladies, we need a direct revelation from God. We need to be women of the word who know what God says about us, who know what God thinks about us every single day, so that as soon as you wake up and the enemy starts firing those questions at you, sometimes before you've even woken up, we are ready with the word. No. I know what my God says about me. I know my God loves me. Get yourself a direct revelation from God today. All the way through the Bible, we can see God reaching out to woo his women back to him. All of them. Sarah, Rahab, Ruth, the Samaritan lady at the well. It's Jesus. It's God reaching out through him to woo women back to him. Always. It's always a battle of their heart. It's always about their heart. Will you love me? Will you serve me? Will you come with me? Do you know I love you? I am for you. It's there. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. That's your takeaway message from today. Jesus knew each and every one of those women inside and out. Inside and out. He knew where they came from. He knew the mistakes they'd made. He knew where they were going to go, what they were going to do for him. He knew them. None of that fazed him. The lady at the Samaritan well, the Samaritan at the well lady, he knew her reputation. He knew what was going on in her life. And he went straight up to her. Mary Magdalene, he went straight up to her. No fear, no shame. He knew them. And he loved them. Because he loved them. Because he loved them. Turn with me, if you can, to John chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. And we're going to read the story of a time when Jesus comes and fights for his girls. And I love this. John chapter 12, from verse 1. And I'm reading from the Passion Translation, which is my favorite at the moment. This is when Mary anoints Jesus. 6 days before the Passover began, Jesus went back to Bethany, the town where he raised Lazarus from the dead. They had prepared a supper for Jesus. Martha served, strangely, and Lazarus and Mary were among those at the table. Mary picked up an alabaster jar filled with nearly a liter of extremely rare and costly perfume, the purest extract of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet. Then she wiped them dry with her long hair. And the fragrance of the costly oil filled the house. But Judas the locksmith, Simon's son, the betrayer, spoke up and said, "What a waste! We could have sold this perfume for a fortune and given the money to the poor." In fact, Judas had no heart for the poor. He only said this because he was a thief and in charge of the money case. He would steal money whenever he wanted from the funds given to support Jesus' ministry. Jesus said to Judas, "Leave her alone. She has saved it for the time of my burial. You'll always have the poor with you, but you won't always have me." We'll stop there. Hear Jesus say this, "Leave her alone." He is passionately in love with you and for you. He is all into you. And when he sees his daughters struggling, living below the way he wants them to, what he died for, when he sees us struggling to reach that, to live like that, to live that free, this is what he feels. He feels, "Leave her alone. He stands up for you. He speaks for you. He fights for you. He is all into you. Jesus Christ, as you know, is the final act in the war between God and the enemy. It's the final act. He's already won it. There's nothing else. There's nothing else to do. There's nothing else to happen. This is it. Jesus Christ, he is the victory. And so when God is for you and you know that and you have that truth locked in your heart, who can be against you? Who can be against you? No one. We can do so much in this life to make ourselves all right, can't we? For example, I squeezed into this pair of jeans this morning. They're on. I'm all right. And then a nice baggy top to go over the top. Covers everything. It's another reason I like it. But we do these things, don't we? We wear things that cover us a little bit, the bits that we're uncomfortable with or don't quite like. We might be all into makeup, lots of makeup to put on a face, hair. It might be the clothes. It might be the career that we follow. I'm all about my career. I've got to be successful. I've got to reach those new goals, earn that amount of money. It might be our houses. Got to have a new house. Got to have a bigger house. Got to extend my house. Just make it all right. It might be the cars we drive, Joe Weeks. They might be things that we need in our lives. I'm not saying this is not true. But we need things in our lives to make us feel all right. I've got that now. That's okay. People are going to see me and know that I'm all right. We do these, don't we? We might just say it. We might just practice that line over and over again. How are you? I'm all right. I'm all right. Don't ask me anything else. I'm all right. How are you? Turn it back. We do all these things, put up all these defensives, have all these strategies in place to make us all right, when actually we're not all right. We're not all right. It's okay to have nice cars, and it's okay to have good houses and good jobs and nice clothes. It's all right. But it's not everything. Everything is Jesus. And when you have Jesus, when he is all in to you, all into your heart, then everything else is great, thank you, Lord, but it's all about you, and I'm all right. So when the enemy throws those questions at you, when the enemy may mock you, so Mary, poor Mary there, she was mocked by Judas. He started questioning her and making her doubt, trying to cast doubt on her agenda, the motives for what she was doing, the sense behind what she was doing, tried to make her feel bad for that, belittled, teasing her a bit. She could have shrunk back, couldn't she? She could have gone, oh, okay, yeah, that's what the world says. That's right, that's not sensible. I really should have saved that. And, oh, I'm making a bit of a mess everywhere. I shouldn't have done that. I'll just go and sit down. She could have done that. I'm so glad she didn't. I'm so glad she gave her all. I'm so glad she pulled it all out. Because then she got to see her Jesus stand up and go all in for her. Leave her alone, he says. And so when the world maybe tries to cast doubt over your life, when things are said to you, things are said over you or assumed of you, when people make judgments or maybe tease you a little bit for being passionate about Jesus, for worshiping, for wanting to stay in and study the word instead of go out, anything like that. When people may mock you, and they may mock you, they may tease you because they don't understand. They don't understand that if Jesus has spoken to you and given you something, a direct revelation into your heart, actually that's all that matters. That's what it's all about. He's all into me and I'm all into him, and that's okay. And he will defend you. He will stand up for you, because God's love never fails. It never changes and it never ends. And that's how I know when Jesus says, leave her alone, for Mary. He's saying that for every single one of us here. Leave her alone. The enemy might try. The world might try. In fact, your own personal, we all have them, weaknesses, insecurities, may try to hold you back, to stop you from pressing on, to stop you from giving a little bit more, to stop you from stepping out in faith because you're sure that God has said something to you. Even trying, they may try and stop you. But know that Jesus is saying, leave her alone. He is so proud of you. He is cheering you on. That is our starting place for today. You know, there's that song, isn't there, by Bethel, The Reckless Love of God. Yeah. Now, I've got to admit, when I first heard that song, I thought it was all great until they said the word reckless in describing God's love. Because for me, to be reckless just seems a bit like a bad thing. Is it just me? Anyone else? Anyway, so I did some research because that's what all good preachers do. And the word reckless actually means this in circumstances. It means this: heedless of danger or the consequences of one's actions. Incautious, unheeding, impulsive, wild, headlong, over-adventurous, over-venturesome, audacious, indiscreet, and mindless. This is the reckless love of God for us today. This is who it is. Let me read this word, these words out again and just think of them in terms of, this is God's love for me. This is who he is. He is, in his giving of love for us, heedless of danger or consequences of one's actions. He's incautious. I love that. I'm so cautious. Seatbelt on all the time. He is unheeding. Unheeding, that means he just goes for it. Like those waterfalls we've been watching, he goes for it. He pours it out. It just continually goes. Doesn't matter what's at the bottom or the rocks, all of our mistakes and bumpy bits. He just pours his love out over us, unheeding. He's impulsive. I love that. And he is wild. Do you get that sense today? I hope you do. We can describe and know God's love in so many ways. And quite often it can be a peaceful and a gentle and a comforting presence, can't it? But know that God's love for you is wild. It's wild. It's like that waterfall. Headlong, he just goes for it. That's who he is. That's what he's about. He's over-adventurous. He's audacious. He is indiscreet. Amen? He's not ashamed of you. Did you know that? He's not ashamed of you. He wants everyone to know how much he loves you. And he did so much to prove that. He sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross in front of the world for you, to show you his unheeding, his audacious, his indiscreet love. That story, it's not a story. That circumstance of Jesus on the cross hasn't been forgotten, has it? It's still alive now, today, the power of the gospel, because of God's indiscreet, audacious love. I love it. You may have a background. Put your hand up if you've got a background. Yeah, you all have. Put your hands up. Put your hands up if you've had problems in the past. You've had difficulties. Yeah. Put your hands up if you've got some weaknesses in your life. Everybody. But put your hand up if you know Jesus. Yeah, amen. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, then now is the time. Now is the time, right at the beginning of the day, to open your life up to him, because he is all in for you. And there's no place here for comparison. There's no place here for, well, I'm pretty sure she's led a better life than me, so Jesus can love her. And she's made more mistakes than me, so I'm all right. It's none of that. It's all the same. And Graham Lotz, another of my favorite speakers and writers, tells a story of walking along a beach one day, and she was just started to notice some holes in the sand, as you do. And the first hole she noticed was from those little, like, I think they're sand crabs or something, are they? Sand crabs. And they come up and then they go down into the sand and they leave like a tiny little hole like that. And they're everywhere. And I used to hate standing on them when I was a kid because I used to think a crab was going to come up and get me. She noticed some of those holes. And then she walked along a little bit further and she noticed a dog had been digging and dug a hole, a slightly bigger hole, but there it was. And then looking ahead along to the beach, she saw some children like digging like one of those big massive trenches, and they were flinging sand around them and making a hole big enough to bury Dad. So it was pretty big, big hole, all these holes in the sand. And looking ahead in the horizon, she could see the drill digger things, oil things that, you know, you see at the beach. And they were digging down, I don't know what they are. They were digging down into the sand with these gigantic digger things, making massive holes. So there's all these holes. And then she was just looking and watching the beach, watching the sea, and she noticed this. When the tide came in, when the waves came in, it went over all of these holes. And when it went back, all the holes were gone. All of them. The little sand crab hole, the footprints, the dog holes. Daddy was gone. The hole was gone. Even the digger holes, they'd been filled in with the water and the sand. And it doesn't matter what size the hole is, what made that hole. It was all covered by the water. And the same with Jesus and his love for us. It doesn't matter how big our hole is, how messy our hole is, how much junk we've got in it. When his blood is shed and it flows over us in salvation, covering us with love and eternal life, it's all covered. It's all covered. It's all covered. Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, it's all covered. He is all in to you. So you can try and hide it, but you don't need to. There's no need. Today we are in a safe, open place. Know that God loves you with utter abandonment, a reckless love that comes over and covers you with his love. He covers you with the blood shed by his son. Oh, it's so powerful, and it covers all, and it makes you whole, and it makes you new, and it means that we can go all in for our God because he has already gone all in for us. No one leaves time with him unchanged. We've made lots of space today for you, ladies and gentlemen, to be able to sit in his presence. Allow him to just breathe over you, to wash over you, to take it all and go all in for you. He's going to make you complete in his love. Let me finish with this. Galatians 2, verse 20-21. My old identity has been crucified with Messiah, and no longer lives. For the nails of his cross crucified me with him, and now the essence of this new life is no longer mine, for the Anointed One lives his life through me. We live in union as one. Amen. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me so much that he gave himself for me and dispenses his life into mine. This is our Jesus. He has gone all in for you. Let's give it all back to him. Amen. Amen. Thank you, ladies, for listening. So, thank you.